Today's story is about a father's love, herding sheep, and pineapple pastry. It's also about me, your host, Anupam Kher. But mostly, it's about making you smile. Welcome to Anupam Kher's Chapter 11, Sweet Failure. One day, early into my 11th grade, my father arrived at my school and he asked that my teacher excuse me from class. This was highly unusual. You see, life with my family was consistent. Being released early from school without notice had never happened to me before. And it was all the more significant because it was my father who came to retrieve me. My father was, as I told you in the bread seller story, a man of habit. He never skipped work. He diligently stuck to his routine. So I was curious why all of a sudden he was here at my school. As we left the school building, my father asked, "Kuch khayega kya? Do you want to eat something?" Of course I did. Always. As a child, my favorite restaurant was Alpha Restaurant. But Alpha was our place for special occasions. My family only made 2 visits to Alpha a year, and our next visit was 4 months away. So, instead, I suggested maybe we go to the little sweet shop in the lower bazaar. But to my surprise, my father said, "You don't want to go to Alpha?" This was getting more interesting by the minute. When we sat down, my father proceeded to order our favorite items, a mutton samosa, a pineapple pastry, and an espresso. I watched him with awe. Why were we here enjoying this indulgence? Had my father received a promotion? Did he win the lottery? Was he leaving the family and this was my goodbye meal? But as the waiters brought us our food, he started to talk. "Bittu," he said, "this morning I went to the education board and I found out through a friend that you have failed in the matriculation examination. As I have mentioned, in my youth, I was not very focused on school, so I never received high marks. And even extracurriculars like sports or debates did not stir my interest. Although my mother always encouraged me to study, I must admit I did not try my hardest. In India, secondary school is divided into 2 phases. The first phase concludes with a very important exam at the end of 10th grade. But things were a little different in Shimla. Because the winter months were so extreme in our little town, we took our exams early in December to spare students and teachers from traveling to school during the cruelest winter months. Why is this an important distinction? Well, this schedule was not standard across the country. And so, in order to keep in a relative cycle with other schools, students in Shimla continued to advance to the next grade before their annual exams were graded. In fact, students in Shimla were typically 2 months into the next term before they got their test results back. So, if a student failed the matriculation exam, they were pulled out of 11th grade and thrown back to 10th. And they would have to repeat the grade with kids who had just been their juniors.
Ooh, wapis aa gaya. Welcome back.
How humiliating. It's an imperfect system. And so you can imagine, it was the most mortifying thing that could happen to a student in our little town. And now, it was happening to me. As my father relayed the news to me, my mind started racing. I was trying to come up with excuses, ways to defend myself from the scolding I was about to get. But the scolding never came. Instead, my father said, "You are probably wondering why I brought you here. to our favorite restaurant, Alpha, to have our favorite meal. I did this so that you never forget this failure, or any other failure you will encounter in your life. He continued, I want you to remember that failure is an event, never a person. Failure is an event, never a person. I can't tell you how many times I have repeated that line to myself over the years. Failure is an event, never a person. I have told it to others. It helps reframe the world and gives you permission to take risks, because failure is the circumstance, not you. But that was my father, Pandit Pushkar Nath Kher. That day, he celebrated failure with a 16-year-old boy. And it has made me the person I am, because with those words, he took the fear of failure away from me. My father was remarkable. When he passed away, my brother and I opened a trunk of his. Inside, along with some other prized possessions, I found clippings of my plays and my film reviews, drama certificates, letters I had sent home, and in some cases, just my name mentioned in a publication. Each time the words Anupam Kher were proudly underlined. The truth is, we all have setbacks. I've had ups and downs, and those downs can hurt. But because of my father, I know those little failures will never define who I am. And when I feel down, I reset in the same way he lovingly taught me. I order one mutton samosa, one pineapple pastry, and an espresso. And I bask in his memory and his words, knowing failure is always an event and never a person. Speaking of people who refuse to see themselves as failures, let me tell you about Cliff Young. For his entire adult life, Cliff lived as a potato farmer in rural Australia. In fact, by the time he was 61 years old, he was still living with his mother on the old family farm. But Cliff didn't want to be defied by his circumstances. So in 1983, he decided to do something bold. He signed up for a marathon. But this wasn't just any marathon. Cliff entered an ultra marathon, a race between the big cities of Sydney and Melbourne on a course stretching nearly 550 miles. If you are like me and not an ultra marathon runner, let me put that into perspective. A standard marathon, which is already an impressive feat, is roughly 26 miles. So this ultra marathon was more than 20 times that. In general, it takes elite runners about a week to finish a course that long, but in order to do so, they need to jog more than 78 miles a day. Needless to say that these races are not for the faint of heart. Most ultra marathon runners are young athletic machines that eat, sleep, and breathe their training. And then there was Cliff. Cliff had almost no experience racing. In fact, he had never completed a real 5K before, let alone a standard marathon. He didn't subscribe to any fancy running magazine or use any training apps. He didn't even own a pair of running shoes. But Cliff wasn't afraid of failure. And he wasn't afraid to try. While Cliff had never formally run a race or had any training, he had been running all his life. When he was a young boy, his family owned nearly 2,000 sheep on their farm. The family didn't have enough money to buy a tractor. They didn't even have enough money to keep a herding dog. So Cliff's family corralled the sheep on foot. Cliff spent his whole life running after sheep, and he was good at it. Running after 2,000 sheep across a 2,000-acre farm taught him to operate on little sleep. And sometimes he would jog with his sheep for 3 days straight without stopping. As the race grew near, Cliff decided he should fit in a little practice before the big day. So he began to train a little on his farm. Because Cliff had no uniform or running shoes, he wore the only things he had: big rubber rain boots and overalls. His training consisted of him chasing his cows around the backyard. The other thing you should know about Cliff: because he had never been trained to run, he shuffled around awkwardly. In fact, he hardly bent his knees, and his arms dangled straight by his hips. It was a sight. As you might imagine, Cliff's unusual running form immediately caught the attention of the local media, and most newspapers treated Cliff's quest as some kind of a joke. But Cliff was determined. On the day of the race, Cliff stomped up to the starting line and looked around. They were world-class runners in flashy sneakers. Cliff had just received his pair of running shoes. They had corporate endorsements and big brand logos covering their jerseys. Cliff was wearing a pair of tattered wind pants to cover up his purple, protruding veins. They were bouncy with youthful energy. Cliff had to remove his dentures because they rattled when he jogged. And then it was time.
Take your marks.
The runners took their places and the started gun fired. Cliff pumped his legs and swung his arms and immediately fell to the back of the pack. In fact, it only took a few seconds before the top runners were out of Cliff's sight. But Cliff wasn't out of the race yet. You see, most of the runners planned to jog for about 18 hours, then they would sleep for 6 and start again. But on the very first night, Cliff's morning alarm was set for the wrong time. The buzzer went off hours earlier than planned. Cliff woke up and didn't seem to notice the time, so he started running and running and running. And he never looked back. Remember how Cliff used to herd sheep for days at a time on his farm? Ends up that was his superpower. Years of sheep herding had given him tremendous stamina. So after that first night's sleep, he never really stopped to rest. For the rest of the race, he averaged about 2 hours of sleep every night. Whenever he did take a brief pit stop, he would eat boiled pumpkins and tins of cold spaghetti, and he would drink milk out of empty Vegemite jars. And unlike the other runners, who were followed by professional entourages traveling in magnificent caravans, Cliff was followed by his friends in a rusty old van driven by a guy named Wobbles. Wobbles. It wasn't long before the media sheepishly changed their minds about Cliff. They nicknamed his awkward running style the Cliff Young Shuffle. Over the course of the week, Cliff went from a joke to a national hero. And naturally, he gave interviews without his teeth in. When a journalist asked him to divulge his secret to success, Cliff simply said, "You just keep going." When another reporter asked Cliff what he was going to do when he crossed the finish line in Melbourne, Cliff said, "I'm going to the toilet first." By the time Cliff reached the outskirts of Melbourne, the crowds of adoring fans were so large that Cliff needed to be surrounded by a police escort. And as promised, when he crossed the finish line, the first thing he did was ran for the toilet. When he got out, cameras surrounded him. Cliff had finished the race in 5 days, 15 hours and 4 minutes. Not only had Cliff won, he beat the course record by 2 days. As the first place winner of the ultra marathon, Cliff was given a cash prize of $10,000. Instead of keeping it, He gave it all away to the next five runners that crossed the finish line after him. He didn't take a penny. Cliff was never in it for the money. He just ran the race to prove to himself that he could do it. Sometimes taking a chance and braving failure allows you to achieve unbelievable success. And sometimes it ends with a pineapple pastry. And when you look at it that way, either way, it's always a sweet ending. That's it for today's episode. I'm Anupam Kher. Be kind to yourself. And thank you for listening. Anupam Cares is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Anupam Kher. Our executive producer is Mangesh Hathikudur, senior producer Julian Weller, associate producer Morgan Lavoy, sound design and mixing by Julian Weller and Dan Bauza, music by Aaron Kaufman, production support from Emily Marinoff and Mary Dew, writing by Lucas Riley, Matt Riddle, Morgan Lavoy and Julian Weller. Lucas Riley and Matt Riddle are our story editors. Thanks to Sikin Paru, Herman D'Souza, Godwin Amana, CDM Studios, Connell Byrne and Bob Pittman.
You just got to keep going, I think. You can't relax, you got to keep the pressure on. You can't, it's not easy, it's tough, it's a tough run. The pressure's there all the time.